Welcome back to Considerations from the Capitol from the Deeper Dive Podcast. My name is Bill Winnell. As always, joined by Father Larry Swink. Good morning, Father.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Today is the third Sunday, the third week of Easter, and Father will reflect on today's Gospel from St. Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, and you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, Have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of baked fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Father.
All right, folks. So today we have this recounting of the resurrection of the disciples from Emmaus. But there's some pretty deep theological points that we can look at in today's particular gospel about how do we know something's true. And firstly, we see the certainty of the resurrection. And we look at the scriptures. It says, "And the disciples from Emmaus rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' And they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." All right, let's break this down. The women see Jesus and the others don't believe. The men see Jesus and they still doubt. Yet when they say he appeared to Simon, there seems to be a change of attitude. What is this attitude change? Well, I think it shows us even in the beginnings of the church, even before it was official in Pentecost, that unless it was approved by the Pope, then we shouldn't believe. if we look at Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15:15 and Luke 12:24-34, the risen Lord then appeared to Peter privately, it says, on both accounts, prior to making himself known to any of the other apostles. In other words, it seems that the church, once Peter declares it, it becomes official. And we see in Luke 24:24, "The Lord has truly risen. He's appeared to Simon." All right. So let's kind of use this idea of the certainty and look at other examples that we could find in the church even today. All right. Let's take France, for example. If someone, people were to say they saw Jesus or Mary at an apparition, we call this these moments when our Lord or our Lady or Saint appears to people, and we have to have a degree of doubt about these things because they might be crazy. For instance, on the 13th of May in 1917, the Mother of God was appearing to Fatima, announcing to the world her message of peace and conversion and warning humanity about the terrible causes of the 20th century. Now, this was not officially proved or considered truly true until 1940 by Pope Pius XII. And he basically made it official that the apparitions of Fatima were true. But once again, it's when the Pope declares in the union with the College of Apostles, does it become truly believable, so to speak. How do we make sense of things when there are conflicting reports? Some say that the body was stolen. Now, they're saying he is risen. Some say women should be priests. Some say no. Some say couples can use birth control in their marriage. Others say no. The question comes down to this: what does Peter say? And Peter says, "The Lord is truly risen." Let's use those examples I used. All right, so Someone asked about women priests. Now, the whole thing about women priesthood is not about that men are better than women. It's just the way that Jesus made it, essentially. And in an interview, Pope Francis was asked by a Swedish journalist, is it realistic to think that there might be women priests also in the Catholic Church in the next few decades? And the Pope Francis said no. And she said, but really, forever and ever? And the Pope reportedly replied, quote, if we read carefully the declaration made by John Paul II, it goes in that direction. And now he was referring to a letter that was written by John Paul II, where John Paul II officially declared, like Peter declared today about the resurrection, in a document that only men should be priests. And I read how he states it. In the document, Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, he says, wherefore, in order that all doubt may be removed, notice, all doubt be removed, regarding a matter of great importance, a matter which pertains to the Church's divine constitution itself, in virtue of my ministry of confirming the brethren, Luke 22:32, I declare that the Church has no authority whatsoever to confer priestly ordination on women, and that this judgment is to be definitively held by all the Church's faithful. Case closed. Peter spoken. All right, let's take the whole issue of contraception, Paul VI and Humanae Vitae. Listen to how it's worded when he wrote this document. Therefore, we base our words on the first principles of a human and Christian doctrine of marriage when we are obliged more to declare, notice declare, that the direct interruption of the generative process already begun, and above all direct abortion, even for therapeutic reasons, are to be absolutely excluded as lawful means of regulating the number of children, unquote. Official declaration by the Pope. Peter spoke. So as the Pope, he declares to make certain something is doubtful. Now, once again, the certainty comes when he appears to Peter. And once again, we have our doubts are made clear when Pope speaks officially as universal pastor in union with the bishops. All right, number two, there's contact with the resurrection. Now, that's great that Peter saw Jesus and the apostles saw Jesus, but do we have contact with the resurrection? And notice that these people, they heard that it appeared to Peter, but then it says, while they were speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. It's one thing here that to hear what the Church teaches about the resurrection or about anything. It's a whole other thing to accept this reality personally. But what we learn from this particular passage where he says, peace be with you, that peace is not going to be attained until we are in agreement with Jesus and his Church. So, have we come to truly believe what the Church proclaims as to be true? Because I know that it is true. We will not truly live unless we truly believe, this gospel tells us. Do I believe that Jesus has forgiven my sins? Do I believe in the reality of heaven and hell? Do I believe that prayer works? Do I believe that suffering has meaning or my life has purpose? Or do I have dignity given to me by God through baptism? And we saw the Church just write a beautiful document on human dignity, which we talked about in the podcast last week. And it all comes down to one question. Do I believe there's an empty tomb and that the Lord has prepared a life for me? So this certainty of the resurrection or these facts of life need to become real in our life. And if they become real, and only if they become real, then we accept the third C, which is the commissioning of the resurrection. Now notice, after they believe or they are convicted and certain that the resurrection happened and that there was a life for them given to them by Jesus' death and resurrection, they accept a commission. And the commission was thus. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. That Jesus is risen from the dead is certainty and true because the Church solemnly proclaims it. He is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. But next, we have a commission to proclaim to the Church and to our families that we are witnesses, that we truly have experienced in the laboratory of our own lives, that what God teaches is true, and that when we accept what he teaches as true, that our life is actually better and not worse, that we actually have meaning, and that we've experienced, one, a forgiveness of our sins, secondly, meaning in our life, thirdly, a meaning of suffering, fourthly, we actually are a better person because we have been commissioned. And the reason that people believe that Jesus is risen, or what is supposed to be the sort of billboard for the Lord's resurrection, is our own personal life. And that's what it means to be commissioned. He says, you, not, and I, you are witnesses of these things. So the question that Jesus teaches us is, can we say truly that Christ is risen because we have seen a difference in our life? Mark Wahlberg, who had that movie Father Still, there was an interview not too long ago where he talked about his faith and how he's really come to a new knowledge of his faith. And he said this, quote, God didn't come to save the saints. He came to save the sinners. And he goes on to say, we've all had things and issues in our lives, and we want to be better versions of ourselves. And through focusing my faith, it allowed me to do that. That's a witness of the resurrection. Now, is he living it perfectly? Probably not. Is there some things he needs to work on? Probably so. But is he better now than he used to be? Absolutely. Why? He is a witness of the resurrection. So there we have it, folks. We see three fundamental principles here. First is, we see that there is the first thing we see in today's Holy Gospel is the certainty of the resurrection. Why? Because Peter validated it. And too many people want the body without the head. And too many people want a church without a hierarchy. Well, here's the thing. If there is no Pope, then everyone's Pope. And that's the problem with the world today. Now, I'm not saying that everything the Pope says is true. Of course not. But if he speaks on an issue of faith and morals to the universal church as universal pastor, in union with all the bishops around the world, he will not do so in a faulty manner. And the gates of hell and the Lord and the Holy Spirit will not allow him to do so. Number two, we have to have contact with the resurrection. What that means is we have to have experience of Christ in our life. There has to be this moment where Christ appears to us personally. And finally, after that, we need to be commissioned. That God needs to use myself and you and the whole world that are Catholic to bring others to Christ. And it is through our experience of that contact with the resurrection and that change in our life that we truly can be witnesses of these things, that the Christ indeed has risen. So God bless you.